Hey, Jared Morris here. If you know anything about Rainmaker Digital and Copyblogger, you may know that we produce incredible live events. Well, some would say that we produce incredible live events as an excuse to throw great parties, but that's another story. We've got another one coming up this October in Denver. It's called Digital Commerce Summit, and it is entirely focused on giving you the smartest ways to create and sell digital products and services. You can find out more at rainmaker.fm/summit. That's rainmaker.fm/summit. We'll be talking about Digital Commerce Summit in more detail as it gets closer. But for now, I'd like to let a few attendees from our past events speak for us.
For me, it's just hearing from the experts. I mean, this is my first industry event, so it's awesome to learn new stuff and also get confirmation that we're not doing it completely wrong where I work.
The best part of the conference for me is being able to mingle with people and realize that you have connections with everyone here. It feels like LinkedIn Live. I also love the parties after each day, being able to talk to the speakers, talk to other people over here. First time, people have been here before.
I think the best part of the conference for me is understanding how I can service my customers a little more easily. Seeing all the different facets and components of various enterprises then helps me pick the best tools.
Hey, we agree. One of the biggest reasons we host a conference every year is so that we can learn how to service our customers, people like you, more easily. And here are just a few more words from folks who have come to our past live events.
It's really fun. I think it's a great mix of beginner information and advanced information, so I'm really learning a lot and having a lot of fun.
Conference is great, especially because it's a single track conference where you don't get distracted by like which session should I go to and am I missing something.
I mean, the training and everything, the speakers have been awesome, but I think the coolest aspect for me has been connecting with both people who are putting it on and then the other attendees.
So that's it for now. There's a lot more to come on Digital Commerce Summit, and I really hope to see you there in October. Again, to get all the details and the very best deal on tickets, head over to rainmaker.fm/summit. That's rainmaker.fm/summit.
Hey there, it is so good to see you again. Welcome back to Copyblogger FM, the content marketing podcast. Copyblogger FM is about emerging content marketing trends, interesting disasters, and enduring best practices, along with the occasional rant. My name is Sonia Simone. I'm the Chief Content Officer for Rainmaker Digital, and I hang out with the folks who do the heavy lifting over on the Copyblogger blog. You can always get extra links, extra resources, additional notes in the show notes, and you can find those anytime at copyblogger.fm. Along with the complete archive for the series. So I'm excited because for a long time now, I've been trying to snag Chris Marlowe. Chris founded a nonprofit organization called Help One Now. And we were able to catch up today. He's a busy guy. I'm a busy gal. And we're going to be talking about Chris's marketing, how he communicates with the nonprofit audience, because we don't talk about that a lot here at Copyblogger, but I know a significant number of you are doing communication for nonprofits. We're also going to talk about a new book that he has out, which is really powerful, and I think people will get a lot out of it. So, Chris, hello. It's so good to talk to you.
Hey, Sonia. It's so good to be here. Super excited to be on your podcast and be able to connect with your audience. And I love talking about nonprofit communications because it's so important and it can make such an impact in the world.
It really can. It really can. Let's start with just letting people know. I mentioned your organization is called Help One Now. So when I heard Chris speak, I was really moved by how he approaches his mission, and I became a regular donor. And, you know, just if anybody listening to the call thinks that would be cool, you can certainly do that. What does Help One Now do? What kind of organization is it?
Awesome. Thank you so much for asking. Help One Now basically does three kind of key scenarios. One is we want to impact high capacity local leaders. So we're trying to source leaders all over the world who are doing amazing work in their communities, and we want to come behind them and help them accomplish their dreams. And we do that in order to care for kids who have been orphaned, abandoned, or trafficked. And then we do what we call community development, a community transformation work, right? It's all the big picture infrastructure stuff that we all kind of deal with all over the world, like clean water, education, healthcare, job creation. So the goal basically is to make sure, you know, folks are empowered to be able to care for themselves and not have to rely on aid forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's excellent. it's just, it's a great work. It's, it really gets, you know, it really gets to the hands of people and really helps them out. Let's talk about a little bit, because we had a really good conversation. Chris and I met at Jeff Goins' event, Tribes, and we had a really good talk about what nonprofit communication usually looks like. You know, when we get the newsletters from the charities that we've signed up for, donated for, the usual model for nonprofit content marketing is essentially, let's make our potential donors feel really guilty. And we're going to just squeeze all the guilt dollars out of these people that we can. And it, you know, I think that we talked about, I mean, there, to some degree, it works. You know, it sure does work. Let's talk about why, you know, your perspective on that and why that's not an approach that you actually recommend.
Yeah, it's so interesting, right? There are two things. Folks in the nonprofit world, one, I mean, we really care about the issues that we're trying to solve. And part of the challenge in any nonprofit is you're typically giving away most of your proceeds. So there's culture in so many nonprofits is this desperation. It's just never ending. We have to get more money. And you know, it's just a machine that doesn't stop. So when I started HelpOne Now in 2009, the economy was falling apart. I was living in Austin, Texas, and I spent a year doing research. And I'm like, what nonprofits are communicating really well, but making their donor base feel really good about being a part of the nonprofit? Because guilt is one of those things that just, I don't think it works long term. And and if you're guilting people to give money, they're going to stop giving money and being a part of the organization, being part of your tribe. And eventually you're going to have to go out and guilt more people, because you're going to have to replace people who are tired of being guilt-ridden with the way you communicate. So it's like, what if we just communicated in a way where we invited people into a story and they were a part of this thing, short-term or long-term, and they felt super amazing about being a part of doing good, doing it well, and doing it together? And what if we just stayed away from the guilt? So what we try to do, and this is important, we don't want to hide from the realities of the world. There are certain realities that are harsh and hard to deal with. So, but for the most part, we want our stories to be based on hope and impact and transformation. Then occasionally we'll have to deal with some of the hard things. And I think what, in our current world especially, like, it's, everything seems so hard and so much complexity. When people hear from HelpOne Now, I want them to be excited to read it, because they're going to hear a story that's going to give them fuel to kind of take it another day and make another impact.
Yeah, I think that's kind of core. Your organization, and we're going to talk about, we can actually just talk about it right now.
All right.
Your organization, you work on global extreme poverty. This is an issue.
Yes.
Among many that we're looking at right now, that makes people feel completely hopeless, because you just feel like, well, and I mean, you have some in your book, we'll talk about your book in a little bit, but you know, I've heard you share, and I've read in your book some stories about situations that were overwhelming because they were so painful. Yep. And it didn't seem like, you know, that feeling of helplessness is overwhelming, and it's worse. We were talking before we started recording. It is worse now.
Yep.
So maybe we can. I would kind of like to. I mean, we can really get into this, but
yeah,
people feel overwhelmed. You were mentioning, you know, right now, basically anybody who's on Facebook and paying attention to the world and the situations, what's going on in Turkey, what's going on in the United States, what's going on with even something like Brexit, what's going, you know, people feel completely helpless and paralyzed.
Yes.
How does a nonprofit communicate when everything's an emergency all the time and everybody is actually quickly going kind of numb?
Yeah, it's a great, great question. I think every nonprofit leader is basically spending time trying to process, what does it mean to communicate in an age where every single day there's another emergency, there's another tragedy, there's another issue, and it's almost driving, you know, it's like we're digging a hole of hopelessness and we're digging deeper and deeper. But, you know, and you know this as well as anyone, the media only tells one side of the story.
Yeah.
There's all this amazing work being done all over the world in our backyard. I just got back from Uganda and Ethiopia, and to see the hope and the amazing impact that people are making. But those stories never make it on the news. And so I think there's a few things. HelpOne Now, we try to invite people into a story that will really help them feel good about who they are and will want to continue to be a part of the story. We also want to create on-ramps and off-ramps, right? Because here's one of the things nonprofits do really, it's really hard. Like if I sponsor this child, is it a forever thing or is it not? So how do we communicate clearly? Like, hey, this is there's so much chaos going into the world, but here's a way you can make an impact and here's what we expect of you. Oftentimes in nonprofit spaces, we don't tell people what to expect. So people want to be involved and they want to bring hope and they want to kind of fight all the negativity, but they also need a clear line of sight. Like, what do you want from me? And then, you know, and then one thing they're always asking is, will you be transparent? Will you tell me, is it working? Is it not working? I want to be in the, I at least want to have access to the information. And then, you know, we're just fans of having fun. There's so much negativity in our world. I just spent 2 weeks with, you know, just had a blast with real people who are living real lives in a much better place because folks are jumping in, donating, you know, sponsoring child, being part of the $10 tribe, throwing gratia for orphan parties, just donating out of their budget. And it is making a huge impact. And so I think the most important thing as we think through the layers of communication is for the listener to really have a disciplined approach to making sure as we listen to the national news, let's also make sure we have news feeds that are more maybe authentic and down to the ground where we're hearing about hope and transformation because it is happening. We're just never going to hear it in the mainstream.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And you touched on something, and I think I talk about this a lot with marketing and communication and content. You know, people will associate you with what you communicate, and they will associate with you a certain feeling. And so if you create communication content that makes people feel positive, then they will open your next email.
Yep.
And if you are constantly making people feel, now, usually when I talk about this, it's in the context of a pitch. I'm pitching you on an ebook. I'm pitching you on a course. I'm pitching you on a $10,000 mastermind, whatever it is.
Yep.
If all I do is pitch, 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 eventually you associate seeing my name in the email with being kind of irritated and you stop opening. In your world, it's the same. It's the same equation. If every time, you know, I mean, I have my organizations I donate to and some of them I always open and some of them I don't, because some of them, it's just always like, oh, I can't deal with that today. I just
so
can't.
The real question is, do you open Help One Now? That's really what, no, I'm just kidding.
you know,
you're totally right though, right? Because think about it, like anyone who's communicating, the goal is to get people to click, right? Mm-hmm. No, there's so much information. If folks see Help One Now in their subject line or on Twitter and social media, if we're not creating content that's going to want them to be a part of reading and engaging the content and sharing the content, then we're in trouble because basically the end user now gets to choose how or if they even pay attention to us. So our job is to make sure folks who are already part of Help One Now's tribe, you know, they're donating, they're advocating, they're moving the mission forward. When they see Help One Now, they want to know about it and they want to engage it. And then for new folks who we're inviting into the story, for them to realize, like, wait a minute, this is something that actually matters. It's hope-based. They deal with the reality. And I want to be a part of this because if I'm a part of this, my life will also be better. And I think the other thing, Sonny, and here's where a lot of nonprofits really fail. Every time they send something out, they're asking for money. And that's a big mistake.
Right.
Even personally, like, I don't want anyone to think when they see Chris Marble, they're going to have, I'm going to ask them for money. Like, I hardly ever ask people for money in day-to-day conversations. I mean, I'm very strategic because if you become known as someone who's always asking for something, eventually people aren't going to want to hang out with you. They're not going to do lunch with you. They're definitely not going to do coffee with you. And they'll begin to ignore you. And it's really your own fault.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, I think that's so smart. And the other, you know, and the other for me, that understanding of, you know, it's story-based. It's, I think that communication is very powerful. I think you guys do an awesome job of helping people see, and I think the book is also really great for this, helping people see that, you know, there's the material needs, which are really important, but then there's just that message of, like, you're not alone person having an issue on this planet. There's other people who care about what's going on. Knowing that is really important. And then I liked what you said about on-ramps and off-ramps. Small, and that seems to me like that's the theme of your book. Small actions can roll up to big results.
Yes.
So don't be afraid. And I teach this all the time about everything from, you know, your fitness to your business to everything else. The small, just that message, small actions can roll up to big results, I think is really powerful. And it helps us get out of that paralysis of, you know, gloom that it's always a factor. And boy, 2016 is giving to us in spades.
It is. 2016 is the year that I think we'd all, you know, when it's over, we'll probably be glad it's over, especially here in the United States with the presidential elections. But it just, I mean, I was just hearing, listening to Rio and all the different issues for the Olympics. Like even the Olympics are having problems. I mean, the one thing that could bring hope to the world this year, and excitement and a little entertainment, is having issues. So I think what people who are donating, you know, to charities, what they don't sometimes know is like, what is the win? What are we trying to do? And I think what we're trying to help our tribe understand, like, here's what the win is. You don't have to solve all the world's problems. You don't have to fix everything. You can go and enjoy kind of your normal life, whatever that is. But when you participate in this charity, in this cause, in this community, in this movement, if we all do small, powerful, intentional acts, it can create massive change and massive momentum to like see real life some change. And so I was just in Ethiopia last week, and we were you know, with our family empowerment program, over 100 families who, instead of having their kids orphaned and living in an institutional orphanage for $1,000, they go through this year-long program, and basically their entire family by the end of that year is sustained. They have a place to live, they have jobs, they can provide for themselves. And you know, when 15 or 20 or 30 people come together and give to that one family, it creates a long-term impact in that community. And what's great is the donors get to see the entire process. And so we can't change everything, but what we can't do is get paralyzed by the issues being too big. And I talk about this in the book a little bit. You know, there's so many issues. The problems are big. They're so complicated. But we can't let that paralyze us. Instead, we have to start small, follow our passions, use our gift, build relationship. And the one thing where I think a lot of donors struggle is they have to stick with their causes, the ups and the downs. Causes aren't perfect. We make mistakes. But man, when donors stick with us long-term, it creates even a greater impact. And they're able, when people see the transformation, then I think it really just helps everyone involved.
Yeah, that's, I like that a lot. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, if you have somebody, comes up to you at a conference or an event or something, they're trying to do a better job, they, you know, of their nonprofit communication. They're trying to do a better job reaching their people, raise more money for the organization, and also create maybe better loyalty, I think, with the donors, and maybe even more word of mouth with the donors. What are some steps that you would tell those people? Okay, I want you to go back to your office, and I want you to do this, you know, one or two things.
Yeah, that's good. I love it too, because I think if nonprofit leaders create better cultures, then people want to be more involved and they'll be more open in the beginning. So it's actually really important. I was actually, we have some Major League Baseball players involved, and it's pretty interesting when you begin to engage in folks, you know, of wealth and of fame, they get asked all the time. Yeah. And so we do the whole opposite approach. We build a relationship and invite them into a story and just kind of show them, you know, ways that they can make an impact and they can be involved. And we kind of allow them to kind of pick or choose their own path. I mean, some of them have been thoroughly involved and given significant funds. Others have been just, you know, a little, they've gotten involved a little bit, and we don't make either one feel guilty. So I think one of the things that we're constantly doing, and what I would encourage everyone to do, is invite people into a story where you have kind of created a pathway for them to find their own way. Now, don't get me wrong. One of my jobs is to ask for money. I need to. My job as the leader of the nonprofit is to make sure it's funded. Yep. So I have clear conversations. I make clear ask. But beyond, but the thing that's beautiful is I let, if people can't be involved, it's no big deal. I mean, it's not like it's awkward when I see them next. A lot of it is creating this culture where people feel comfortable even saying no, because eventually if they're sticking around you long enough, there's going to come a moment where they say yes, or where they help someone else get involved, or where they just respect you enough to say, man, I really want to be a part of that. So I think nonprofit leaders, we're so focused on the urgent, this quarter, you know, this need, that we're not creating a culture where people are have time to process and get involved. So sometimes we're on level 8 and, you know, our donors are on level 1. Like we're full steam ahead. And they're like, what is going on? I had no clue this issue was happening. Right? And then we want them to immediately go from 1 to 8. We need to help them go from 1 to 2 to 3. And then some of them will actually, you know, be fully committed long term. And it's powerful.
That's actually, I mean, the thing is, it applies to so many different kinds of organizations, too. It's not just, it's actually not just charities and nonprofits. It's that applies in a lot of ways. Yep. Well, I don't want to not talk about the book, because you have a new book out, which is awesome. I'm reading it. It's very powerful. So it's a book. It has a strong Christian perspective. That's the framework. That's the lens. Yep. Would you recommend it to people who maybe don't come from that tradition? They're not Christian. Do you think that it's something that would benefit people who don't come from the same tradition you do?
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of it, and, you know, Help One Now in general, we have so many people involved. I was a pastor, you know, for over a decade. So a lot of my personal faith is important. My professional side of my life, I was pastoring kind of when I met a starving orphan in a gas station in Zimbabwe. So one of the things I challenged is I kind of was like, I need this to be an authentic story where the reader can kind of follow with me and the transformation that I've had. But also, we have so many people involved in Help One Now. We have people who are outside of the Christian faith. You know, they don't have any faith at all. They're conservative. They're liberals. I love that I can bring unity to the world. Like, just for this one issue, we can all agree that we need to care for people in need. And here's how. So I think most folks will, if they're open-minded and they can kind of understand that the faith thing is, I'm not preaching to them. I'm not trying to convert. I'm just bringing people into kind of my story. And then for those who are of faith, kind of maybe, you know, helping them realize kind of the calling that we have as kind of a Christian faith. So I think most folks will be okay with it, because I mostly focus on stories and practical ways to make a difference.
Yeah, no, and there's powerful stories. You have put yourself, I admire that about you so much, because you've put yourself in the path of all of these intense stories. I mean, many of which I know you did not choose. You didn't come from a fairy tale upbringing. I know it just, that's a very powerful part of who you are, I think, is that, you know, you come into contact with these stories and you share them with us. Do you want to share, I mean, what would you say about the book? I know what I think the theme of your book is, but what would you say the theme of your book is, and maybe how could somebody, even before they pick it up, go out and take that into the world, not necessarily as a marketer, just, you know, as a person?
Yeah. When I began to write the book, I kind of had three goals. I wanted people to be able to read the book in 2 hours. Mm-hmm. I wanted them to laugh. I wanted them to cry. Mm-hmm. And I wanted them to close the book saying, you know what? I can make a significant difference in the world. And I don't have to change everything. Because often when people think about making a difference, like, do I need to move somewhere? Or do I need to change all my habits? And there's such a guilt-driven culture often when it comes to issues of doing good and justice. And I wanted to create a book where people felt really, they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're worth a lot. Every individual's worth a lot, and they can make a big difference in the world. And so whether you're, you know, Christian faith, outside the faith, whether you're famous or you're the most normal person in the world, like I was when I literally was just a normal person trying to raise my family, trying to do my job. And, you know, we started a nonprofit, and it is what it is now. And so I wanted people to feel unstuck and they weren't paralyzed. And they can spend their moments in life making the world better, but in a way with grace and hope.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you have such wonderful examples of just people doing, you know, little things. Yeah. And especially to me, doing little things within a community, so that your one little action, but that little action gets added to, you know, and whether your community is maybe your Twitter community, right? Because a lot of us are so online, or, you know, the people you go to church with, or the people you go, your kid's soccer team or whatever it is. But, you know, if you can pull people together to take focused action together, that actually, it's amazing how quickly that can add up into something really meaningful.
Yeah, it's amazing how far, you know, dollars will go around the world. And so one of the things we were trying to figure out is often giving was done in such a private nature. And you know, people weren't talking about kind of what they were doing. You know, we give to this nonprofit or to this charity or to this church. But we wanted to make giving and making an impact a very community-driven, reality. Folks want to be together. We're all really busy, so we hardly have time you know, for even sometimes for community and for family. So how do we integrate giving and community and making an impact? So sometimes a little is throwing a garage sale party with your family and friends. It's definitely, you know, a little bit of work to throw a garage sale party, but you get to do it together. And like we've rescued, you know, 60 kids from trafficking in Haiti, all because, you know, 40 or 50 different families threw a garage sale party and launched, you know, this project in Haiti that helped rescue, you know, kids from trafficking. So none of that money came out of the, you know, the normal budget. It was an action step that moms and dads and kids did together, church small groups did together, you know, all sorts of different people joined this little, this movement, took small steps. And, you know, today over 60 kids are rescued because of, you know, that small but powerful step that they made.
Yeah. And it's funny because I actually had a note here about talking about contribution because, if, you know, in our culture, and there's a certain, a lot of people don't think it's right to talk about your contributions. You're supposed to make a charity contribution and then not say anything about it because you're bragging and you're, you know, you're only doing it to make yourself feel better, which I personally, I'm like, yeah, go for it. Like if making a big charity contribution makes you feel better about yourself and you brag on it, hey, that's awesome.
Yep.
You still did a lot of good.
My moms love it. Like please tell everyone.
Yeah. Because your contribution might inspire somebody else to say, yep, oh, I want to do that too, you know? So. Yeah.
Well, it's even, speaking of that, it's amazing how many people don't know where they can help. Or, you know, they don't like, so it's so important for like helping out for our donors, our tribe, if you will, for them to share their experience, you know, with other people, because that's how,
right,
just like it's one for one marketing. We don't have to spend as much money in marketing. We can spend more money on making an impact when our tribe is sharing. Now we give them tools to share so they can figure out, you know, how much they want to share. We have folks who give significant money that never talk about it. We have folks, you know, who are always talking about it. So we kind of, again, back to like letting donors pick what they feel is good for them.
Right.
But also one thing we always do is say, hey, please talk about helping out on your socials, because it does truly help the nonprofit. But another thing it does is it does bring hope to the world if we give them powerful content that they can use in order to kind of, you know, to share with people that they're connected to. So huge part of what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it just strikes me. What are we, 6 billion on the planet now, coming on 7?
Yep.
And working together, there is just, I mean, we really could fix the whole thing. We could just fix the whole thing, you know,
yes, yes.
If we could just get out of this feeling of helplessness and isolation. I really, yeah, you know, it's doable. I think we can see it from here, but it's just getting people to see that we can see it from here.
Yeah, I was just in East Africa, and we some well-known people were with us, and so because of some issues, they had to bring two former Navy SEALs, mm-hmm, and so it was interesting with these Navy SEALs. You know, the first day or two, you know, they were kind of normal, standoffish to themselves, kind of just doing their job. But by day three, as they were, you know, with us, meeting kids, meeting families, seeing the impact, you begin to see, you know, like the humanity come back to them. They've obviously, I don't understand that world. It's not my world. But the powerful thing about it is they see so much of the negative in the world. In just 2 days, being around like hope-filled communities, they, and one of them, as we were leaving, said, "You've restored my hope in humanity, that we can actually care for one another." And this guy's only been through, you know, all the crazy parts of his life that he, right, came to talk about, but just a few days with people, and he realized the humanity that we all kind of, that we share in, and we need one another if we're going to make the world different. And it was just interesting to watch that whole thing flow for 5 days last week.
That's cool. That's cool. I think that's really the power. That's why I think content is so powerful for this kind of, you know, project or mission, is telling the stories, and you can really change people a lot with a little bit of content and a little bit of sharing and a little bit of community. So yeah, very cool.
Yes, we kind of have, real quick, we do have like the 6-step process, right? Like how does someone help make the world better? And I talk about this in the book. You do something. You start small. You follow your passion. Use your gift. Build a real relationship. And here's the struggle, even back to content marketing. Oftentimes, people don't feel like there's a relationship between the nonprofit and the people who are making an impact. So they're just writing, just a check is coming out. Cash is coming out of a bank account, but there's no humanity behind the gift. Mm-hmm. And so there's no connection. And so what we're constantly trying to do is just, again and again and again, build a human connection, because then it matters more.
Yeah. Very cool. All right, good. There are, so people who are interested in what you're doing, you do have a TEDx talk, which is really powerful, and it's a great way to kind of get more of a sense of Chris and who he is and where he's coming from. Some great stories. And I'll share all the links, guys, in if you just go to copyblogger.fm, you get all the links as well as the show archives. The book is called Doing Good is Simple, Making a Difference Right Where You Are, which is a wonderful title. I think it really, really helps people start to see the themes. And then the organization is at helponenow.org.
Yep.
All right. Well, anything you want to leave folks with before we wrap it up?
Oh, first of all, thanks for having me on the show. And second of all, when people listen to the podcast, if you're listening to this right now, please know that the world needs you. You can make a huge impact. You don't have to write big checks. You don't have to change your entire life. You can start small and you can do good. And that doing good can be significant in the world. And I think more than anything, we need everyone to contribute to make the world brighter and better.
Yeah. Awesome. Lovely. All right, Chris, I really appreciate your time. I'm really glad we got to kind of sit down and talk about some of the nuts and bolts. And thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.